Hey, good morning, everyone. Just before I get started, a couple of things. Doug mentioned, Randy, you're going to be doing the Lord's Supper talk? Awesome. Every day's Christmas. That means I've got another one in the bag when we need it. So I appreciate that, and I look forward to your talk there, Randy. So what I wanted to do today, before I get started, I'm thankful for the opportunity. It's been a while since I've preached. So young men and young women, whenever you get an opportunity to speak or teach, I would suggest you to take it, especially in front of Christians. Christians tend to be the most forgiving people in the world. So when you get up and get locked jaw or mess up, they'll forgive you. And it's a good opportunity throughout your life. And for the young folks especially, when you get into a career and you have to speak in front of people, this is good experience. It's a great experience for you. And I would say whenever you get that opportunity, take it. What I want to talk about today, we just had our... We're going to study from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through the second chapter, verse 10. And I didn't tell Doug what I was preaching on, but his songs were very relevant, so I really appreciate that as well. In class today, I was very excited to hear Carissa mention that she had been baptized, and having grown up in a house full of women, and also having a bunch of women in our household with me and Cynthia, I thought, you know what, why don't I talk a little bit today about women who are role models to us. And I picked one that we probably don't talk too much about, but if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to talk a little bit about Hannah, who was a woman of faith. And one of the things I'm doing in class right now is I'm teaching from the book of Joshua. So we see a continuing theme throughout the Old Testament. The theme, I would say, is when you do what the Lord tells you to do, everything turns out all right. And that's what I'm trying to get across to the fifth and sixth graders. And when you don't, bad things happen. So I tend to be a bit sarcastic sometimes when I sum those things up, but it is the truth. And we see those lessons throughout the Old Testament. So we see stories that we often talk about with great men like Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David, and Daniel. But there are also really solid and great lessons that we learn from women such as Sarah, Ruth, Esther, and Hannah. So a wonderful role model. If you just read the first few verses in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, you're going to see a great role model and a great story and some lessons we can learn about that. So we're going to talk about that today. So just a little bit about Hannah. Hannah was the mother of Samuel and one of the greatest prophets of Israel. I'm sorry, Samuel was one of the greatest prophets of Israel. Hannah was his mother. And that story of Hannah is in the first two chapters. It's a simple reading, and we're going to glean several lessons from that today. So I want to read those verses, starting in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat, and why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So one of the first lessons we learn from this, I've got to make sure that I do this right, is that women of faith endure real problems. If I were to, and by the way, by extension, I would say men, because guess what? If my wife has a problem as her husband, it's my problem as well, right? So women of faith endure real problems. If I talk to all of you today, probably going to find out that you have some kind of problem or some kind of struggle that you have, right? And by the way I try to preach is you'll have the verses listed. So we just read 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to go to Genesis here in a minute. Then we're going to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 again. So as you walk through, by the way, I read a lot of verses because I think the Bible is much more eloquent than I'll ever be. So please follow along. Please flip through. Pay attention and reflect on the verses. So women of faith endure real problems. So what do we get from the verses that we just saw about Hannah's problems? Well, she had two issues that she was dealing with. Her womb was closed by the Lord, so she wasn't able to have children. The second thing was the other wife, Peninnah, provoked her and was her rival in a sense because she provoked her in front of her husband. Now, from those verses, we get two key points or two lessons learned that we can apply. The first one that we can apply is women of faith are not without problems in this life. As I said, if I come and talk to all of you women of faith today, you probably have something going on that may not be pleasant, right? So we all have real problems. So if you go back in the Old Testament, and we're about to read Genesis chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, we see a few things in the Old Testament. The righteous often suffer. If you remember Job, he suffered, but he was a righteous man. And then also we read in Genesis chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, Sarah likewise suffered ridicule from her handmaiden Hagar. So in Genesis 16, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarah took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarah said to Abram, may the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. The second key point, the lesson learned, is we should not let others deter our trust in the Lord. And we see Hannah doing that throughout the verses that we read about Hannah. So what could Hannah have done? She could have used her misfortune and mistreatment as an excuse against the Lord. But year after year, we read in verse 7, Hannah continued to worship the Lord. So women of faith endure real problems. Now, as we see about women of faith having problems just like other women, let's keep reading, and we're going to get our next lesson from Hannah. So starting in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 18, we read, then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, no, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. She said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So this brings us to our next point. What distinguishes women of faith is what they do when faced with their problems, as we just gleaned from the reading. So women of faith endure real problems. Also, let's see if it shows up here. Got to click it twice. I'm learning. I'm kind of stupid on technology sometimes, but I'll get there. Women of faith extend vibrant prayers. Very important. We all read throughout the Old Testament and New Testament the importance of prayer. So what can we say about Hannah's prayer that we just read in those few verses? Hannah's prayer included with the bitterness of soul, with weeping and anguish, with offers of a solemn vow, with persistence, with her heart, with all her soul, and with faith in God's promise. So Hannah had faith, and she prayed about it. So what can we learn from Hannah? There's three key points here when it comes to prayer. And the next verse we're going to go to is Colossians 4 and 2. And in Colossians 4 and 2, we get two of the points. First point is pray fervently. So Hannah put her soul in her prayers. Hannah also prayed persistently, and she continued steadfastly in her prayers. Colossians 4 and 2 states, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Also in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, we read the third point, which is to pray faithfully. Hannah believed that God would answer her, which is an important point. She had faith, and she believed. So in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, the Bible says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. So, women of faith believe in the efficacy of prayer. God takes notice of such faith. I'm not going to read it, but 2 Chronicles 16 and 9 is an example of that. And let's continue reading a little bit about Hannah's story, and that'll bring us to our next point. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned again to their house in Ramah, and Elkanah, sometimes I have a tough time with the Old Testament names, had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. So, in this case, getting to our third point, we should not be surprised to see that women of faith experience God's provisions. So far, Hannah's had a real problem. Hannah prayed about it. God answered her prayer. So, as far as Hannah's provisions, we see that the Lord remembered her because of the prayer, because of her faith, and she asked for a son. She wasn't asking for something in her prayer that was, I'll say, unreasonable as a word. Maybe God would have viewed it as unreasonable, but she was asking for something that God could definitely give to her. And when the Lord gave her a son, whom she named Samuel, it was because I have asked him of the Lord, 1 Samuel 1 and 20. So what can we learn from Hannah? Well, two key points, and here's where I always try to inject a little bit of humor in my preaching. Sometimes it gets me in trouble. God may sometimes give us what we want, okay, if we pray for it. There, I'll age myself for a minute. There was a song in the early 70s, Janis Joplin sang it, by the way, that went, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. I worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz. Song goes on to also, it's a prayer. The song is a prayer. Also asking for a color TV, a night on the town, and buy me the next round of drinks in a bar. Probably would have been better for the song to go something like this. Let me see if I can remember what I thought up early this morning. Oh Lord, I thank thee for my Dodge truck. It's been paid off for years now. It saves me a buck. I could go on and on. But the point being, don't pray for something that is unreasonable. We should be thankful. And most of you are now probably thinking he needs to keep his day job instead of singing, and I can appreciate that. So God may sometimes give us what we want, but we got to remember in 1 John 5:14, we read, it must be according to his will. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Also in John 15:7, we read, we must abide in his words. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. James 4:3 is another example. Selfish prayers will not be answered as we wish. And that's what I was talking about with the Mercedes-Benz. I don't need a Mercedes-Benz. I'm very thankful for my Dodge truck that I'm going to drive into the ground because it's paid for. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. The second point here that we can learn is God will always provide what we need, and we often forget that. It may not be what you want, may not be what you expect, but it will meet our needs and will be for our own good. Matthew 6:33 and Romans 8:28 addresses this. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Romans 8:28 states, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So in Hannah's case, she received what she asked for, but she had also made a vow. And we're going to read on, and we're going to read a little bit about that vow. So in 1 Samuel 1:21-28, let's read those verses and see what we learn from that. Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. In the Old Testament, we read about sacrifices. We read about those vows and things of that nature, which are important lessons to us. Verse 22, but Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a three-year-old bull and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. She said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So what do we see from these verses when it comes to women of faith? What we see is that women of faith excel at keeping their promises. So far, women of faith endure real problems. They say vibrant prayers. They experience God's provisions, and they excel at keeping promises. So what was Hannah's promise? Or what about Hannah's promise? She planned to keep her promise. That's what we read from these verses. She carried out what she promised the Lord, and she worshiped the Lord. So what do we learn from Hannah in these verses? I think there's two key points that we learn. The first one, and we'll look at Ecclesiastes 5:4-5 here in a moment. One, keep your vows. If you promise something, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed, and many times that I have to watch myself, Lord, if you'll just do this, I'll do this, this, and this. Well, guess what? If you make a vow, you need to keep it, right? In Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5, we read, God has no pleasure in fools who do not keep their vows. And Ecclesiastes uses the word fool to talk about that. So Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, when you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pray. So, as Christians, and think about this, even our yes and no to God are a solemn vow. We read about that in Matthew 5, 33 through 37, and James 5, 12. In Matthew 5, 33, the Bible says, again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, but you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. James 5 and 12 says, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. So yes and no, as we read in these verses, are important parts of this vow. Second point, we should worship the Lord. And we see Hannah doing that throughout these verses. Fulfillment of vows or promises should not be done begrudgingly. So you should be joyful when you make your promise and keep your promise. And in Colossians 3 and 17, we read, we should with gratitude of heart do the will of the Lord. Colossians 3, 17 states, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Finally, we're going to read a couple of prayers by a couple of women, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. We're going to look at Hannah's prayer, thanksgiving, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And then we're going to look at Mary's prayer in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And these are a bit long, so bear with me, but read along, because when you read their prayers, they're beautiful prayers, and it helps teach us of how we should pray as people of faith. So here we go with 1 Samuel. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. From the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Let's go to Mary's prayer now in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46. Luke chapter 1, verses 46. And we'll read Mary's prayer. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abram and his descendants forever. So from those prayers, those don't necessarily sound like prayers we pray today. But when you talk about praising the Lord and how we should praise him, I think Mary's prayer and Hannah's prayer are beautiful, and we should consider those things as we think forward. So both of these prayers reveal my last point. There we go. Which is that women of faith express their praise. So what do we see about Hannah's praise in the prayer that she stated? With great joy in her heart, 1 Samuel 2 and 1, and with praise for the Lord for his help, 1 Samuel 2, verses 2 through 10, because the Lord gave her a son that she asked for. Now, what can we learn from Hannah? In this last point, there's a couple of things here. First point is, we should rejoice in the blessings that we receive. Again, not always going to get what we ask for, but when we receive a blessing, we should rejoice in that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, which is a very short verse in the Bible, it says we are to rejoice always. And also, how much more so when we have received blessings from the Lord, we should rejoice every time we get those. Also, the second point is we should offer praise for any blessings that we receive. Psalms 18 and 49 is a good example of this. David offered thanks and promised to praise God. In Psalms 18 and 49, he states, "Therefore I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name." We're next going to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, and we're going to see another point under here, which is praising God is how Christians offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Spiritual sacrifices. So in Hebrews 13 and 15, the Bible says, "Through him then, let us continually offering up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name." So again, the Old Testament, there were ways of praising God other than just prayer. There were sacrifices. Well, we have the perfect sacrifice in Christ. So in conclusion, what's the key points you should learn from Hannah, who's a woman of faith? We see that real women endure real problems. They extend vibrant prayers. They experience God's provisions. They excel at keeping their promises. And they express their praise. So I keep saying women. Men, we can learn from that as well, right? If we do those things, it's a great example for us as people of faith that we do these things, right? So in closing, what I would say is today anyone can become a person of faith, even though you face real problems, even though us people of faith do have those real problems, if you're willing to come to God in prayerful obedience to the gospel of Christ. We can receive the gift of salvation provided through God's Son. We can remain true to our commitment to his authority as Lord of our lives, and we can offer our life and the fruit of our lips to praise him. So the last thing I'll say here before we offer the invitation and have the invitation song is, whether you're male or female, we should be able to say together with Hannah in 1 Samuel 2 and 1, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord." It's the perfect prayer that's provided by Hannah to the Lord as thankfulness for her faith. And as we see, she's a true woman of faith. So as tradition and our services end right now, or the lesson ends, if there is anything we can do to help you, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.